God's good all the time, right? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, this is an exciting day, busy day. We have little worker bodies all over the place putting up tents outside, and this is an outreach Sunday, basically. Amen to our community. So you guys are just privileged to come in and receive the word and worship. But really, today is about giving. Amen? And that's what it's all about. It's going to be awesome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Of course, it's always fun for us pastors because we're sometimes get a little bit busy and whatever. Amen? All of the agendas and things that goes on. And everybody, hallelujah. But we just appreciate all of you. Just give yourselves a hand. Come on. How many of you came out? How many of you came out and did backpacks, stuffed backpacks? Well, bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. And all the workers that's going to be working today. Praise God. You know, it's because of unity. And that's what I'm preaching on today, part of the love series that we're dealing with. And there's a lot more that we can do when we're thinking the same way, speaking the same way, and moving the same direction. Amen. There's a supernatural anointing that flows through a congregation and through a body of believers. And we are a body, members in particular, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. We all have play a part. Amen. Praise God, I don't have to cook hamburgers today. Hallelujah. How will that smoke come in my face? How many of you have ever done that, right? You're baptized in smoke and grease and everything else. And everything else that goes on. Hallelujah. So every part is very important. Hallelujah. The security team. Amen. And so many things going on. And if you all are going to be here, if I could just throw something out, the security team, I've already notified them. But we're going to have a lot of people that don't come to church and probably unchurched people. During the backpack giveaway, so we want to make sure all of our stuff is protected, so we can all keep an eye on our equipment and everything like that, that nothing gets wrecked or walked away with, okay? Amen, that's an assignment for all of us to keep an eye, hallelujah, on everything, amen? And other than that, we just want to bless the people, love the people when they come in, hallelujah, greeters, greet like you've never greeted before. Everybody should be a greeter today, right? Amen. You're quiet today. We have over 225 registered. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Now let's just stand together. Let's pray for the event. I know the prayer has been going up for the event. Amen. Already. But Father, we just come to you right now. And Lord, we thank you for all the people that are going to come, and their purpose is to, of course, to receive a free backpack, and we want to bless them in doing so, giving them those backpacks. But Father, we also pray that, God, they'll be touched. Amen. Touched in a special way when they walk on our property, when they're presented with the gospel, as they get to know the church and the people here. Father, we just thank you that you will do a dynamic thing today. Amen. Change hearts and lives forever in Jesus' name. Minds are open. Hearts are open to receive. Amen. The love of God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to look at Psalms chapter 1, verse 33. Psalms chapter 1. No, not chapter 1. Chapter 133, okay? I'm sorry, guys. Hallelujah. Verses 1 through 3. It says here, behold. And anytime you say behold in the word, it wants you to pay attention. Amen? Now, many of you don't tell your kids to behold, but you'll tell them to pay attention, right? So pay attention, folks. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren, that's all of us, to dwell together in unity. Amen. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And let's look at this. It is like the precious oil. And oil is always symbolic to the anointing. Amen? To the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard. The beard of Aaron, talking about the high priest, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So what is this telling me? If a group of people will get together, think together, speak together, be unified together, there is going to be, the Lord says, I've commanded the blessing. God is looking for churches. He's looking for a group of people that he can command the blessing on. And I know that we're blessed already, but there's just something that agreement, people coming into agreement, when it takes place, there is every part supplying. Amen? And this is what we call the corporate anointing. And as you get a picture of the Old Testament, Aaron was the high priest at that time. And so as oil was poured literally over his head, all right, and it ran down his beard and all the way down and to his garment and dripped on the ground, it's what love is. It's what unity is in the eyes of God. It's precious. And God says, I will look for a place like that, for a people like that, and I will put my blessing, I will command my blessing upon them. Hallelujah. How many of you want Living Word to be like that? Come on, say amen louder than that. Come on, shout, wake up. I would say slap the person next to you, but I don't want to get in trouble. There was a minister that... they did that all the time. Is it slap the person next to you? I said, they get in trouble for that. Especially if they got slapped back, right? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 15. Now look at this. As we've been reading the epistles, the Apostle Paul wrote a lot about unity. He wrote about a lot about love and not being self-absorbed, but giving of ourselves to others around us. And so this Romans 15, verse 5, it says, now may the God of patience, thank God for his patience, and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Now, that doesn't mean that we're always going to agree on every doctrinal thing in the Bible, okay? In fact, churches have been in disagreement. I mean, when we were in Brockton, we used to try to connect with the other churches in the community, and they did a lot toward doing that in the early years that we were there. But we would have disputes over communion, whether we're going to have wine or grape juice and all this kind of stuff. And there was never a one-mindedness that, hey, Jesus is what we're gathering around. The cross is what we're gathering around. Hallelujah. We might have a different way to baptize people or to take communion, or we think this way about this and that way. But listen, if we can all gather around Jesus and understand that he is the reason why we're all heading toward the same place, and let me tell you, we will get together and get along when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even maybe a denominational person that you might be able, just can't understand why they think that way. Hey, they're not going to be sections in heaven where the Baptists are over here and the Episcopalians are over here and the Catholics are over here and those crazy Pentecostals are over. They have their own section. Amen. We're all going to be one. We're all going to be in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. One mind and one mouth. You know, our mouth gets us in trouble. It really does. How many of you ever got in trouble by saying the... You think you're saying the right thing, but somebody takes it wrong? Come on, we've all been there. That's called offense. Hallelujah. We have to purpose that you may be of one mind and one mouth. And we are to glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Amplified Bible says this, "Now may the God who gives the power of patient endurance, steadfastness, and who supplies encouragement grant you to live in such mutual harmony and such full sympathy with one another," so it's always about one another, "in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may unanimously, with united hearts and one voice, praise and glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that together you may unanimously, with united hearts and one voice, glorify God." That's why praise and worship is so powerful. Amen? Hallelujah. It's important. Now, I know that a lot of us run late at different times, but you need to get here during praise and worship. It's important. And I've been to mega churches, I mean big churches in the past, Word of Faith, Pentecostal churches, where people would straggle in and they would just barely make it for the message. Now, the word being preached is important, but how many of you know praise and worship softens our heart? "For enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." And probably the ones that don't do that are the disgruntled ones that just hurries up. They have to go to Dunkin' Donuts and get their coffee. And they barely make it here, and they just rush in. Praise and worship's over. And they leave. "Pastor, you didn't feed us today. Pastor, they didn't come to enter in." The Bible says, "Enter with one mind and one voice." Praise. "Oh, I don't like the worship." Well, listen, you better get used to it, because that's what heaven's going to be all about. Hallelujah. I've heard where the flowers sing to you in heaven. Everything's alive and vibrant. Everything glorifies God. Hallelujah. And listen, if you like quietness, there's only be 30 minutes of that in heaven. The rest of the time is going to be noisy. Now, the Bible says that. I don't have the scripture right now, but it says, you know, there's going to be silence for the space of 30 minutes. That's for the quiet people. Hallelujah. So, amen. It's going to be noisy because we're going to love Jesus so much and the Father so much, and we're going to be there with him forever and ever and ever. In fact, the book of Revelation says it's going to be like a sound of Niagara Falls, like sound of many waters. Hallelujah. So if we can reproduce that right now before we get there, wouldn't it be powerful? Talking about supernatural miracle signs and wonders. Hallelujah. So the strategy of the Satan, those of you, the enemy, all right, that have been around church for a while, you know that he wants to conquer and divide. That is his purpose, to cause division among the brethren, among the saints, so that we won't accomplish the will and the purpose of the Father and the assignment. You know, I've been in church all my life. I've seen church splits. In fact, the church that I was associate pastor in, I don't know how many churches came out of that church. Just split after split, because people would have their own agenda, people would have their own vision, and so on and so forth. Pastor's still there. He's probably almost in late 80s, 90s, honey, probably, Pastor Tatham. Wow. He's still pastoring the church, still moving along. Amen. And I thank God for him. He's like a dad. He opened the door to ministry. Pastor Judy and I got married under his ministry. Hallelujah. And so, but there was constantly, I don't know why, I often said, people said, "Well, why don't you start a church down in the Bible Belt, and or this place and that place?" Amen. And I thought, well, at least back in New England, you know what the devil looks like. Come on now. Hallelujah. Down there, you got a lot of religious devils down there. Praise God. That's why there's so many church splits and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. But God wants us to be together. So, insensitivity doctrines, offense, things like that the enemy tries to throw in. And, you know, if somebody looks at you wrong, or pastor doesn't shake your hand, or kind of you think the enemy constantly, consistently plants thoughts in people. We deal with it all the time. But we have to overlook those things and focus on what the gospel says. Amen? To create the spirit of unity, a visible unity that is seen by the world. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Let's look at some of these scriptures. Let's look at the Jerusalem church. It's so powerful about what happened. They were so empowered. You know, they had come out of religion, a lot of them, okay, out of the law, and they moved into grace. Praise the Lord. And it says this, all of these, with their minds in full agreement, devoted themselves. They devoted. We've got to learn to devote ourselves. And these are the areas, okay? Steadfastly to prayer. Pastor Judy's talked about prayer on Sunday nights. Waiting together. Amen. Just waiting upon God, worshiping God. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brothers, they're all together. Hallelujah. They didn't have any other agenda. You know, Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, he said, he said it's important that you tarry, you go and wait to be empowered by the Spirit. Don't go out just out in ministry. And that's what we do a lot of times. We just run into things. We just want to do this and that. But there's a preparation time. There's a worship time. That's why I said come to church for worship. We're preparing our hearts before God. And that's what they did those days that they were in the upper room. They devoted. They were in full agreement. Say full agreement. Well, I don't agree. I don't agree with this. What do you think would happen if a couple of the disciples said, I'm not in agreement with this. We need to leave this place and go somewhere where there's more, you know, I don't like this upper room, you know, atmosphere. It's just not conducive to what we're trying to do. Or, you know, we're hungry. Let's go down to McDonald's or something like that. And let's do, you know, they didn't have any other agenda. They were obeying God. They were focusing on worship and glorifying the Father because they wanted that promise so much. They didn't know what it looked like. They didn't know what it was going to feel like. But Jesus said, wait, tarry. And so they were together. They were in full agreement, devoted themselves to prayer, waiting together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, probably put them in line anyway, right? Like my mom would do, all right? You boys, now stop, you know. And you know, they had to do some politicking there, too. How many of you know they had to replace Judas during that time? So they drew straws. I don't know how scriptural that is. Okay. But anyway, they do that. And they chose Matthias to be the 12th disciple, the 12th apostle there. Amen. But, you know, there were things that had to be done, but they were able to do it in unity. Hallelujah. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 comes along, and it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with what? One accord in one place. And the original Greek said simply, they were together. And what does that mean? They were together physically, like we are today, and they were together in one purpose, devoted for waiting for the promise of the Father. In other words, they were getting along. They didn't have their own agenda. They didn't have their own plans. And well, we need to do this. We need to. And listen, the disciples. There were, and not only were there the 11 plus Matthias that were chosen to be the 12, but there were 120 people. If you can get 120 people together in agreement, focusing on one thing, no wonder the Holy Spirit had access to come in like he did. Praise God. Powerful. Powerful. Waiting, tarrying, worshiping, devoting, the word devote, devoting themselves to stay together in the spirit of unity. Amen. So when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord and in one place. Together. And as we read Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. This is what happened. They were so in love with Jesus. Listen, we need to be so in love with Jesus that nothing else matters. Amen? As we behold him, the Bible says, we're changed from glory to glory. Not as we behold people, or not as we behold pastors, okay, but as we behold him, we're changed. So our focus is to love one another, but also to be primarily focused on the Lord. Him, Jesus. Hallelujah. How powerful is that? So the early church, it says this, so continuing daily with one accord. Continuing daily with one accord. One accord, what does that mean? One accord, together, together. The disciples set a pattern for the early church. They welcomed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in a dynamic way. Amen? And we know what happened in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, where they were all together, together, and the Holy Spirit invaded the place. The glory of God invaded the place. So that continued. That continued. They continued daily. Say daily. With one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Amen. And we really are going to get our connect groups going. We've been just busy, and with our anniversary coming up and everything, summertime, but we are working. That's a process. We want to get our connect groups, our small Bible studies. How many of you want to be involved in that? Come on, raise your hand. Every one of you should, because it's a New Testament pattern. They went from house to house, breaking bread, speaking the same thing. And, you know, we're going to be talking to you in weeks to come about hosting and maybe being a small group leader. It's so important. Amen? You might not see the importance of that, but hey, amen. We need fellowship that you don't get. Some of you, I know we only have one service today, and then we have the outreach, but many of you don't know people that come to the second service because you come to this service, or vice versa. You don't know one another. So what we want to do is create family, amen, community together, so you can pray. If any of you were in our past connect groups before 2020, before the epidemic hit, and so on and so forth, people were gathering together, they were praying together, they were, it was awesome, the testimonies that came out of those connect groups. Hallelujah. So pray about that. Pray that you know, you have, some of you have homes that you can open up. Some of you you've desired to be a leader and a teacher and so on and so forth. We'll give you that opportunity. And really, it's just gathering a group of people together and just loving one another, loving Jesus together. Say together. Together. Hallelujah. Together, together. So let's read that again. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread, that means sharing food and donuts, Dunkin' Donuts. That's why I got fat when I moved back here. We didn't have Dunkin' Donuts out west back then, but when we came to, and we started in a home. We really did. Pastor Judy's relatives, you know. Basically, we started with family. And they introduced me to Dunkin' Donuts. Every time we got together, we had Dunkin' Donuts. Bless those donuts. And I still wear them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. It goes on to say in the next scripture, all right? It says, praising God. They're in there praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord did what? He added to the church daily those who were being saved. So how does that go along with the first scripture that we read this morning, where behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. And it says, in that place the Lord commanded the blessing and life forevermore. So you get a group of people that love Jesus, that love one another. God commands his blessing on that group of people. Amen? Multiplication. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It was powerful. Hallelujah. And so we move to Acts chapter 4, a couple chapters after that. Now, this is a model of the early church. Now, the multitude of those who believed, this is Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. They were focused on Jesus. That's all they needed to be focused on. The other things will take care of themselves. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. See, selfishness went out the door. But they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, great grace was upon them all. Say, great grace. Hallelujah. We need to be sensitive to one another. Amen. Care for one another. Pray for one another. That's what the congregation, that's what the body is all about. Hallelujah. And again, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of the human body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about every member supplies. So you have your little finger, and how many of you guys have ever smashed your finger with a hammer? That hurts, doesn't it? Yeah, you probably still can feel the pain if you think about it. All right, out. Michael, you never have done that, right? Diane's pointing at him. Yeah, we've done that, you know. He's like, we all get distracted. I mean, I was trimming my bushes this year, and I had my hedger and one thing, battery-operated one, and I wasn't paying attention. I was reaching down, doing something. And praise God, it didn't cut my finger off because that thing can cut big twigs. You know what I'm saying? But it just, you know, I started bleeding. Of course, Pastor Judy runs when I bleed. She's not good at that kind of stuff. I'm the doctor around the house, right? Amen. No big deal, you know. I'll just go and find some Band-Aids and do whatever. Hallelujah. But anyway, glory to God. So it goes on to, you know, it says that great grace was upon them. So every part has to supply. Every part has to be intact. And when a weaker person or something gets injured, what happens? We pay attention to that injury. You know, we try to destroy it. Well, bless God, you know, that person just needs to get kicked out of the church because they did that. No, the Bible says, you who are spiritual, restore a person. That's a whole other subject. We're told not to judge. Amen? One another. We're not to judicially condemn because, praise God, all of us have been forgiven. Amen. And none of you are perfect today. You probably already did something today that you didn't need to do. Say something, thought something, or whatever. Praise God for great grace. Say, thank God for great grace. Hallelujah. We need that great grace. Hallelujah. So great grace was upon them all. So people in the spirit of unity, and we've got to hurry up. Acts chapter 6, moving along there, verse 7. Then the word of the Lord spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests were obedient to the faith. Why? Because the church was dynamic and it was focused on their purpose, on their assignment. There wasn't division. There wasn't strife. If there was, it was taken care of. But, you know, the Lord granted, say, great grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Romans chapter 12, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says this to the Roman church. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Sometimes our opinion don't really matter. We need to walk in the love of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Last scripture this morning, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Says, only let your conduct. Conduct. What's conduct? The way we behave. Amen. It's the way we act. It's our attitude. How many of you have had bad attitudes before? See, when we get a bad attitude, we've got to learn to get out of that bad attitude. And it's really a decision. Amen? We all do that. How many of you have woken up on the wrong side of the bed? We call that, you know? Pastor Judy, don't say anything, honey. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, one thing I don't like to be disturbed when I'm sleeping. So the other morning, can I tell you this? Tell this? No, don't tell. Anyway, it was the middle of the night. I don't even know what time it was the other night, right? And she said something, or she's awakened me and wanted prayer. Now, you know how powerful my prayer would be early in the morning, right? But she has faith for it, and it works. So whatever I do, I do. Amen. But anyway, she said something to me, or she, whatever. And I said, "What?" That's probably what I sounded like, right? "What? What do you want? Don't bother me. I'm in the middle of a dream, you know? I don't want to break that focus." Have you ever tried to get back into a dream? Especially if it was a good dream? But anyway, something was funny, and she started belly laughing. I mean, just started belly laughing. And that didn't help my attitude at all either. And it went on for about 10 minutes, right? 15 minutes. And our daughter was in the other room and said, "Did you hear Mom last night laughing?" She said, "Yeah, what's wrong with her?" I said, "I don't know. She just got this Holy Ghost laugh, I guess. I don't know what it was." Amen. I'm glad she laughed and didn't hit me. Amen. Answering like that. Praise the Lord. It was fun. How many of you have exciting times like that? Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. So, finishes up, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit." Now look at the importance of this. "Whether I come or I hear, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen? And this is what we're going to do today. Striving together to get the gospel out to all of these people that are coming. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Father, we just thank you this morning. We worship you. We glorify you. We thank you for unity today. We thank you for an extra great grace upon this congregation as we give of ourselves and our time and our money to this great outreach. And Father, we thank you for it right now. And Lord, we just bless these people. We thank you, Father, that we will be a congregation that's in unity, that's in one mind and one accord. Father, we thank you for the anointing that flows over us this morning. Just lift up your hands. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that flows over us this morning. Like the anointing oil that flowed upon Aaron's beard, hallelujah, and ran all the way down. Glory to God. We thank you for that tangible anointing. We thank you for the healing anointing. We thank you, God, for the prosperity anointing. And oh, Father, people delivered, set free today in Jesus' name. It's like honey. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And bow your heads with me if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to accept him, amen, as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says all you need to do is do two things. Believe that Jesus went to the cross to die for your sins. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we were born, we didn't do anything to deserve as little babies. We came in and we were born into sin with a sin nature because of Adam's disobedience. But the Bible says because of one man's obedience, that was Jesus Christ, that we can receive righteousness and grace. Hallelujah. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Amen. And receive eternal life by receiving Jesus, the one who died on the cross. So I want us to pray this prayer, all of us pray this prayer, hallelujah, with me today, and say, "Heavenly Father, I come to you, I stand before you now, and I confess that I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. Now, Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross and dying for my sins. And now, Lord, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you right now for salvation, that I'm free from sin, that I have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.